Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Jesus, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Everybody bow your heads. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today. We just praise you again for all that you've done. We pray that we can just go out and serve you, Lord. Just be with the lost, the hurting, and the suffering right now, Lord. We pray just give us the strength to do your will. Thank you so much for this community, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Be with Pastor Cal today, Lord, and just help him to spread your word. We thank you again for all that you've done. We praise us through your name. Amen.
These holidays, who's going to be here and who's not, but bless God, you're here. Look at your neighbor and say, hello.
Hello.
Now tell them, glad you're here. All right. Be finding Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. For those guests that are with us today and you haven't been here before, we have a theme for this year. We're getting free in 23. And it's taken from that John chapter 8 passage where Jesus said, you shall know the truth. There you go. Y'all are finally getting it. Amen. And we've been talking about how God set us free from sin, how God has set us free from bondage and stuff that enslaves us all year. Here recently, we've been looking at the freedom that's available in living and giving. And the last couple of weeks, we've learned how there's great freedom when we learn how to give God praise and thanksgiving. Praise for who he is, thanksgiving for what he's done. And then last week, we learned how there's great freedom in walking by faith and living by faith. Amen. And this morning, I want to talk to you about hope. Where would we be without hope? My. Hope is a spiritual thing. It's not really an attribute, it's just a reality in the life of every believer. We have, all my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So I want to talk to you about the freedom of hope this morning. And if you have found Titus chapter 2, we're going to start there at verse 11. Let's stand as we honor God's word. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, watch this, to all men. Let me read that again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's everybody. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, amen, righteously, amen, and godly in the present age. And here's where we're really going to focus in on today. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a great friend of Second Mile Church with us today. He's led us in several different conferences and seminars and classes. And he is now the director of missions. Well, the missional associational strategist, I think, is the new title. Mercy, that's a $25 handle. John and Kathy Franklin are with us today. And so, John, would you open in prayer this morning, not only for this service, but especially for Thursdays, for the Jim Symbol event. That's going to be a watershed event here in Clarksville. Go ahead, brother.
All right, well, let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful to be here this morning as your Spirit is already so obviously present.
Yes.
And baptism signifying that, demonstrating that you are present and alive. And we are gathered together today in your name to be encouraged and to take the verse. so he has requested that we particularly focus in this moment to ask you to do certain things in us.
Yes.
Would you work this in us, Father? Would you let us not be hearers of the word only, but doers of what we are about to hear? And then, Father, we need your light to be demonstrated in this darkening culture we live in. And as there will be a meeting of over 400, perhaps 500 or more leaders in churches this Thursday, would your Spirit come down and
yes,
start
Father.
Revival and awakening?
Glory.
And may your people be revived here in Clarksville and Montgomery County and beyond. And may there be a great movement from you to reach many, many souls.
Mm.
We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I love it when John puts on his preacher voice. Amen. I want to talk to you about the freedom of hope, which is the last in the sermon series on being free to live. hope. Where would we be without hope? There was a baseball father who was trying his best to get to the Little League game that his son was playing that afternoon, and he was late getting to the game, and he pulls up, parking lot's full, and the first inning's already started. His son's playing in the outfield, and so he gets up and he peeks around as he gets up to the stands, and he looks in the dugout, and there was two or three little guys sitting on the bench, and this daddy said, "How are y'all doing? Y'all doing good? Are we doing all right? How are we doing?" And one little boy looked at him and said, "Well, we're behind 18 to nothing." And the father said, "It's just the first inning." He said, "Yeah, it's just the first inning." He said, "Oh, that's terrible. Are y'all discouraged?" And the little boy looked up at this boy's dad and he said, "We're not discouraged. We hadn't even come to bat yet." Hope! Hope! Y'all need to pray for me this morning. I've got all kinds of stuff rolling around up here and down in here. Just pray that I can communicate with folks today. So let's take a look at this glorious passage that brings hope for every believer. First of all, this hope that we're talking about this morning begins with a transformation. It begins in a transformation. Look again at verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." This hope that we're talking about begins with a transformation we call salvation. Now, we've been talking about the tenses of salvation. We are saved from the penalty of sin right now. We are being saved from the power of sin right now. And one day we will be saved from the very presence of sin. Three of you are excited about that. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, wrap your heart and your head around this. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Okay? Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were clothed in the glory of God, robed in righteousness. The glory of God. They used to walk in the cool of the day with God. And then you all know the story. Eve ate all of us out of house and home. Adam sinned. And all of creation fell. And Adam and Eve at that point in time forfeited that glory. They were short of the glory. They lost the glory. That's why Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And before you got saved, before God saved your soul, you were short of the glory. You had fallen short, all of us, of the glory of God. You see, we need His glory, His righteousness, right? And when you get that, man, that glory is restored, and then there's hope that begins in your heart and in your spirit. Now, I've heard some amazing testimonies. Some what we might call Damascus Road experiences, you know, where God delivered and saved folks out of horrible drug addiction and alcohol addiction and sex and all this stuff. And God delivered them supernaturally, and just an amazing testimony. Now, I don't have that kind of testimony. I grew up in a Christian home, and as a 9-year-old, small, shy little boy, I came to faith in Christ. But you know what I've come to realize? Every salvation is a glorious experience. And it is in the salvation experience that God restores that glory, this transformation process. And we're in salvation, God begins this transformation like we were talking about this morning over here. Man, salvation, when you're saved, that's just the beginning point. And then God begins to sanctify us in this growing in godliness process. And then one day God's even going to get us in this glorification thing, this big Bible word, saved to sin no more. And so we're in a transformation process. And all throughout this salvation experience, brothers and sisters, God places hope within us and gives us what we need to look forward to. Look at your neighbor and say, He's coming. He's coming. Now, I'm going to talk about this at the end of the message. But if you want this transformation, God says it's available to everyone. And He's made it known to everyone. I've had family members tell me, well, what about those people over there in Africa that have never heard the gospel? God has made Himself known through creation, through conscience, and even through the cross. We are all without excuse, Romans 1 says. Everybody can come to this transformational process and get in this salvation, get this hope that we're talking about, because it is God's will for that all men might come to faith in Him. That's what God wants. And so our part in this transformational issue, this salvation, sanctification, glorification thing, here it is. We're to live godly lives. I could preach on this all afternoon. But we're to live godly lives, holy lives, righteous lives. We're not to live like the world. Why? So that the world will see us and who we're living for and want what we have. That's part of the problem. Now, when I say the church, I'm not talking just about Second Mile Church. I'm talking about the church. But part of the problem in this country is the church looks just like the world. We act like the world, talk like the world, walk like the world, live like the world. And when lost folks see us, man, nothing attracts them. Nothing different about them. And so lost people just continue to go the other way. Are y'all with me? This is why we need to live godly. This is why we need to live righteously. This is why Paul says we need to live in a way that's sober and watchful. I'm about to lose y'all. And so this salvation thing begins this transformation in us. Now, when God saves you, you get all of God you're ever going to get. Right? I mean, you do. The question is, does God have all of you? That's the question. And so He comes to take up residence in our, He gives us a brand spanking new life, new heart. Heard somebody say yesterday in a prayer that God's the greatest heart surgeon that ever lived. He is. He gives us a breath, and He comes to take up breath, and then boom, this transformation begins to take place. So hope begins in a transformation. Secondly, hope blossoms in a destination. Look at the scripture. What are we looking for? The blessed hope. How many of you all have somebody that's born again, that's saved, that has gone on to heaven? Anybody in here got? You know, when I was my grandson and my son's age, I didn't think about heaven a whole lot. But I want to tell you, now that I've gotten to my, I think about heaven all the time. Because I've got saved loved ones. I've got grandparents there. I've got a mom and dad there. I've got a mother-in-law there. I've got all kinds of folks. I've got a cousin there. I've got all kinds of folks that I want to see again. And they're in this destination called heaven. That's our blessed hope. I heard some, John, I had somebody tell me a couple of months ago that I was talking about heaven, and she said, well, this is heaven, Pastor. And I thought, I said, you think this is heaven? And I said, I've got some property down in Wyoming. What's your favorite song about heaven? Quick. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When we all get to heaven. Somebody over here, what? What a day that'll be. Are they the only ones that know anything about heaven, a song about heaven? What about the rest of you? You're almost over here. What, I'll fly away? Amazing grace? All right. When we all get to heaven. Oh, thank you. We finally got a contemporary song about heaven. All right. And that's not even contemporary anymore. That's Mercy Me. That's a great song. But you know, we all, my wife, her daddy, Diana's daddy, loves for her to sing Beulah Land. I've heard that at a lot of funerals. Man, it's a great song about heaven. But here's the deal about this hope blossoming in a destination called heaven. I want you to go back with me. Y'all weren't there, but we've all read it, read about it. 2,000 years ago, glory left heaven and came to earth as a baby boy. And the angels began to sing glory to God in the highest. Remember that? And then, and can you imagine Mary and Joseph looking down into that manger, into the face of that baby boy who's now not clothed in a Shekinah cloud, but clothed in swaddling clothes of glory. And I love what Dr. Jerry Vine says about this passage of Scripture. He says that we get glimpses of the glory in the Lord's life all through the Scriptures. We do. You remember his first miracle? It was done at a wedding in Cana of Galilee when the water got sunburned into wine. When the water got sunburned into wine. What did y'all have for breakfast over here? And then, you know, the raising of Jairus' daughter and the lepers, how they were healed. And then the raising of Lazarus. We see glimpses of this glory in the Lord's life all through the Scriptures. And then, of course, God demonstrated that glory on the cross. The greatest piece of glory that was seen to, that was when Jesus died on a cross. God said, there's my glory at Calvary. And then, I love the song. We sang it last Wednesday night. Andrew, you did good picking out the songs last Wednesday night, brother. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Glory to his name. But how many of you know in this section, you can't keep glory in a tomb? Are y'all all with me here? You can't get, you know what Romans 6:4 says? That Jesus was raised from the dead in glory. Whoo! Jesus was resurrected 2,000 years ago, 40 days after his resurrection. The glory cloud came for the glory man and took him to glory land for the glory celebration. What do you think that celebration was like, John, when Jesus got back to heaven? Whoo! Oh, Lord, it sure is good to see you again. You've been gone 33 years. We're glad you're back. I heard some preacher say, I wonder if they sang The King Is Coming Back then. Who knows? But you, I tell you, that was a glorious celebration. And he's only been in glory for a couple of days, because to the Lord, 1,000 years is as, all right? And he's coming again. He is coming again. 9:42 already. Well, that Holy Spirit-filled clock of ours, glory to God. Let's look at Revelation 21. Can we do that just for a minute? That'd be all right. And you can almost sense John's frustration. Not John Franklin, but the Apostle John. He's trying to describe heavenly things that he's looking at with earthly language. And that kind of breaks down. Y'all with me? Look at Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Billy Walker exposited that truth last Sunday so good. And, you know, we got in an argument about recycling and all this stuff, you know. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And the old heaven and the old earth is going to burn up. It's going away. Now watch this. John's looking at it and he says, "And the first earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And also there was no more sea." Now, where is John when he's writing this? He's on the island of Patmos. 60 miles away from his great church of Ephesus, separated by the Aegean Sea. And so I think we could be talking a little bit about separation here. No more sea. And the sea was thought to be, you know, evil, darkness, and that kind of thing. So no more of that. Then John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, Michaela Joe, adorned for her husband. Now, have you ever seen a bride is never more beautiful than on her wedding day? I mean, for months, people have been preparing for this day. And then they get her all dutied up, you know. They put makeup on her and they dress her up and they fix her hair. And I mean, she's gorgeous. And John, he describes this new heaven and new, the holy city of New coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I'm looking out through here and I want to tell you, a bride is never more gorgeous than on her wedding day. I've never seen an ugly bride. I've told y'all, though, I had a couple of close calls. You'll never meet a pastor quite like I am. Hallelujah. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." Now watch this. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." There'll be no more night in the new heavens. There'll be no more, think about this, man, no more death. No more being separated from loved ones. No more, I watched my sweet mama spend about 10 days under hospice. They said she'd be gone within 24 hours. Man, death is a horrible thing. It's the great equalizer, the great separate. Not going to be any more death. No more pain. Man, I got a bad knee. I'm going to do 360 dunks when I get into heaven. No more arthritis. Man, no more cancer. No more stroke. No more heart attack. No more war. No more families falling apart. No more relationships gone south. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more suffering. No more night. And here's the best thing. No more sin. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of Revelation. Whenever I can, I try to read the Bible literally. But there's a lot of figurative language in the book of Revelation. And you can sense John's frustration. You can sense Paul's frustration when they start writing about heaven. Because, I mean, how do you describe heaven with earthly language, right? But now I want you to look at, and I'm using my sanctified imagination, okay? They've got 12 gates made of pearl in heaven. 12 gates, and on each gate is a name, is one of the 12, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Y'all with that? Well, if you're not, you can read about it there in verse 12. And then there's 12 foundations. And on each one of those foundations of this city, there's the names of the 12 apostles. And then John starts listing all these gorgeous, beautiful colors. And by the way, I hate to upset you gospel, Southern gospel fans, but there is no streets of gold. There's only one street. Bless God, it's Main Street. There's no S on streets in this passage of Scripture. But I'm using my sanctified imagination. If this isn't literal, there's a great point here. And verse 15 says, "And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city's laid out as a square." You got that? "Its length is as great as its breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man," that is of an angel, "the construction of the wall," and then he goes into all these gorgeous colors. Now, I don't know if this is literal language or not, but why did he mention all this stuff in such great detail if it's not? But if you do the math here, a furlong is 1/8 of a mile. And heaven would be 1,500 miles in every direction. 1,500 miles north, 1,500 miles south, 1,500 miles east, 1,500 miles west. Stay with me. If you put a pencil on Miami, Florida, 1,500 miles north, you'd wind up at the bottom of Maine. And then you drew a line west, all the 1,500 miles, you wind up in Denver, Colorado. And then you drew a line south, you'd wind up, guess where, the tip of Central America? And then back to Miami. That's the base of heaven. Are y'all with me? That sounds pretty large, doesn't it? Anybody in here from Texas? Bless God, heaven's going to be bigger than Texas, Michaela Joe. Now, heaven's also 1,500 miles high. And if heaven were stories of floors with 15-foot ceilings, how many of you girls like tall ceilings? Three of you, okay? If heaven were stories of floors with 15-foot ceilings, heaven would have 528,000 stories of floors. And each floor would have 2,250,000 square miles of space. And the Department of Eugenics believes that somewhere around 30 billion people have been born and lived on this planet. And let's just say that all 30 billion people went to heaven, and that's not going to happen. Jesus said most folks are going down the wide road. Very few are going down the narrow and difficult way. But let's just say all 30 billion went. Each person would have 196 square miles of property. You know why it's so big? So that anybody who wants to can go. I'm a big Elvis Presley fan. I am. Love that Elvis music. And when Elvis's dad, Vernon, married Dee Stanley, she had three boys. And Vernon decided to move them all into Graceland. And Rick Stanley became a Southern Baptist evangelist. And he was the youngest of the boys. And in his autobiography, he began to write what it was like when his two brothers and his mama moved into Graceland. He said, "Oh my goodness, I thought I was in heaven itself." 9 years old. He said there was toys everywhere. They had ponies to ride. He said they had these little cars that you could drive. He said they had a big swimming pool. They had everything that a little boy could ever want. He said they had cooks in the kitchen, and you could go in there and order anything you wanted to eat. He said, "Man, when we moved into Graceland, I thought we were in fairyland." Gloryland is going to make Graceland look like Pauper's Row. Our hope, our blessed hope, is in that destination called heaven. But I won't talk about this here in just a second if I can get the time to do it. If you want to go to glory, glory's got to first get into you. And when it does, then that hope begins to spring eternal. How many of you are looking for that blessed hope? How many of you are looking for that? Some of you wouldn't raise your hands. Whew. Here's the third point. Y'all with me? We're talking about hope. So hope begins in a transformation. It blossoms in a destination, and hope believes in a revelation. Looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. Looking. For the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Y'all forgive me. I sometimes get emotional thinking about some of this stuff. And Friday morning when I was studying, I asked the Lord Jesus to reach out in that great cloud of witnesses and put his arm around my daddy and give him a big hug and tell him I'll see him soon. And I believe we're going to see him soon. I believe the Lord's coming soon. Now, that's not up to me. That's up to him. And he's going to come when we least expect it. Scripture talks about that. But when he comes, we will see him as he is. Now, can you imagine looking face to face at Jesus? These pictures we see of Jesus, you know, with the long hair and the beard and stuff. I don't know what he looks like. But hallelujah. Peter, James, and John saw him as he is. And we're going to see him as he is. We are looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is coming just the way that he left. He left and ascended back to heaven on a cloud. And that's the way he's coming back for his bride. We call this the rapture of the church. Let me just cut to the chase. We're about out of time. Colossians 3:4 says that we will share in his glory. John talks about we will see him as he is. We will see his glory. And I believe that glory is coming very soon. Some glad morning. You're sitting there reading your Bible. You're having your daily Bible reading. Y'all do have your daily Bible reading, right? You're reading your Bible. And the passage for the morning is Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the appearance, the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You bow your head. It's 6 a.m. When you get through reading that verse of Scripture, it's 6:02. You bow your head at 6:02 and pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. 6:02:1. The Father looks over at the Son and says, are you ready? And the Son looks at the Father and says, I'm ready. And the Father says, it's time. Go get your bride. Go get our people. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God. And he will descend on the clouds down through the third heavens, down through the second heavens where the Milky Way galaxies are, and down through the first heavens. And we will hear that shout. And dead believers will rise and they'll go up singing, oh grave, where is thy victory? And then living believers will rise as well and we'll go up singing, oh death, where is thy sting? and we'll rise to meet the Lord, and it will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the Bible says, so shall we be with Him forever. Hallelujah. That is our blessed hope. And no one can take that hope away from us. No one. No circumstances. No. Did He come the first time? He's coming again too, brothers and sisters. But as I mentioned a minute ago, if you want to go to the clouds, you've got to first go to the cross. If you want to be heaven bound, you've got to be heaven born. Jesus said you must be born again. I want to tell you, one of the most fertile fields of evangelism is right there in the church. We've filled our churches up with lost people. Haven't preached biblical salvation. And many of our churches are full of folks that don't have a relationship with Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never turned from your sin, been so sick of yourself and your sin, and turned to Jesus by faith as your only means of salvation, and exercised your faith in Him and Him alone. In other words, gave Him everything that you are to everything that He is, just simply by asking Him, Lord, forgive me and save me. You know what the Bible says? He's not just simply listening to this. He's looking at this. And if you'll cry out to Him and turn from your sin and turn to Christ and give your life to Him as your Lord, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you can walk out of here with that hope we've been talking about on your way to heaven. Would you bow your head with me? Maybe some of you need to pray a prayer like this right where you sit. Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned and lived for myself. But I want something greater than that. Father, I believe that Jesus paid the price for all my sin. And as best I understand this, by faith today, I'm asking you to come into my heart. Come into my life. Give me a new heart. Give me a new life. Forgive me of my sin. And begin this transformation that I so desperately need. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that way, sitting right there in your chair, I believe God touched your soul today. If you really meant business with Him, that's what the Bible says. You've begun a brand new life. We want to talk to you about that brand new life, but you've got to come forward. Oh, yes, you can check a card and all that, but then you'll get out of here before we can talk to you. But if you just come forward to this altar, we'll have people here to share with you and counsel with you and put stuff in your arms and in your hands, and you can leave here with that blessed hope. And in just a minute, we're going to ask you to come forward. We're going to line you up with some folks. And then there are others. And for some reason or other, the devil's done a number on you. And he's planted your flag on his flag on your property. And you need for God to restore that hope in your life. That joyous hope. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Two kinds of folks here. Which one are you in? Father, during this season, during this time, you're moving in this church. We've seen people saved the last couple of weeks. We're baptizing folks. But God, it's only out of your grace. And so those that have prayed to receive Christ right here today, for the first and last time that they need to do that, I pray, God, that you would give them the courage to step out and come forward for Jesus' sake. I pray for others that are here, Lord, that are Christians, are believers, and they're really going through a tough time. God, that you would raise them up with that hope that's within us. We can have hope right now. Oh, God, help us this morning. We ask it all in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We're going to ask that you get up. What are we going to sing, Andrew?
There is a fountain.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.